Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, one, two. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again.
Yeah.
And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. It cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people. Teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of their statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Crackle Dollar is a false teacher.
Well.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago, it's not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.
Good morning, dear saints of God. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith. You know me, I'm Radio Reformer, and we're in studio to put out there the seventh and final installment in this series that focuses on Metatron. Now, my brothers and sisters, I think we've done a pretty good job just simply by using the Bible. I didn't have to really get into anything theological. I didn't have to get into anything linguistic. I didn't have to do a Hebrew word study or a Greek word study. I didn't have to get into Reformed theology, ecclesiastical theology, medieval theology, New Testament theology, Old Testament. I didn't have to do any of that. These were just six straightforward reviews on Metatron strictly from your King James Bible. And I think we have disproven. I don't think there's any argument left other than the one that I'm going to make today. And I could have done, I had 13 shows forecasted in this series. But, you know, the other six aren't needed. I got to tell you, it's like beating a dead horse. It's like beating a dead horse. So the information that I had for the other six shows, I'm just going to hold it for a debate. I'm just going to save those bullets, those silver bullets, for a debate on Metatron. I had 13 shows. But I'm getting kind of tired of this theme because, you know, once you enter into a ring and it's a one-round knockout, I don't know how you could – I don't know how the boxer could be looking forward to round two to just keep knocking out the same opponent. It's just it's the victory is meaningless. So let's just end it today. And we're going to look at St. Paul's prohibitions. St. Paul tells us not to give in to Jewish fables. And this is what Metatron is. You see, once you know that Metatron, the character Metatron, the person Metatron, whatever you want to call him, a supposed Messiah, Enoch becoming an angel, whatever you want to call Metatron. Just know that it's part of Jewish mythology. And what's a myth is a falsehood. A myth is something that never happened. For example. We know that there are all kinds of myths out there, all kinds of myths, all kinds of legends, all kinds of stories, all kinds of we go to the movies, we'll watch a movie. I watch King Kong versus Godzilla. But I know that Godzilla never existed, and I know Kong never existed. It's part of Hollywood myth. Now, I'll say to a friend, did you go see that Godzilla movie? But that doesn't mean that I believe that Godzilla exists. When we were children, we were told Santa Claus was coming to town, and we were told put your little tooth under the pillow so that the tooth fairy. And I can tell you, I wanted to go get lots of candy the next day. So, I took my tooth. I have to admit, I took my tooth and I put it under the pillow, and I was just hoping that the tooth fairy wouldn't be so cheap, and you know, because normally the tooth fairy would leave you a quarter, and I thought my tooth was worth more than that. But that's all I got. I got two dimes and a nickel. That's what I got. I didn't even get a real quarter. I mean, I didn't. The tooth fairy was so cheapo, I didn't even get a quarter. I got two dimes and a nickel. It could have been worse. The tooth fairy could have left me two dimes and five pennies. But I got two dimes and a nickel. I guess my parents didn't have the kind of change I was looking for. But those are just myths. Those are just harmless. You outgrow Santa Claus. You outgrow the Tooth Fairy. You outgrow anything else you were told as a child. Listen, does Pinocchio exist? No, Pinocchio, it's a myth. Pinocchio's a fable. As a child, I loved to read Aesop's Fables. I loved Aesop's Fables. As a parent, I loved reading Aesop's Fables to my children. I loved it. But do any of the characters in Esau's fable exist? No. Does Cinderella exist? No, never existed. It's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. Now, there are harmless fables. There are, as the aforementioned Aesop's fables, there are harmless fables. There are harmless myths. But then there are some damaging and very dangerous myths. Pinocchio is not dangerous. Pinocchio is harmless only because Pinocchio is not claiming to be the Messiah. The book Pinocchio, the story of Pinocchio, doesn't claim to be the gospel of salvation. That's why it's harmless. Aesop, listen, the storyteller Aesop never claimed to be a preacher, never claimed to be an evangelist, never claimed that his stories would lead you to God. This is why his fables are harmless. But we do have some fables out there. We do have some myths out there that claim to be the way to God. And those are the dangerous ones. And that's the distinction we need to draw. We need to draw a distinction between harmless fables and dangerous fables. A dangerous fable is where you have a character who claims to be the Savior and a character who claims to be leading you to God. Now, those are dangerous fables and myths. And, of course, like I said, there are some harmless fables. One such harmless fable is the comic book character Black Panther. Black Panther is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He happens to be an African king. The Black Panther happens to be the king of a fictitious place called Wakanda. And as the king of Wakanda, Black Panther defends his people against all threats, domestic or foreign. And he's called the Black Panther, and he's one of the Avengers. He's one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe superheroes. He teams up with Captain America, who, again, never existed. He teams up with the Incredible Hulk. He teams up with Iron Man. He teams up with Black Widow. He teams up with Hawkeye. He teams up with Scarlet Witch. He teams up with Vision. He teams up with War Machine. Listen, the Black Panther teams up with all of the Marvel characters to fight the forces of darkness. But try looking for Wakanda on a school globe. There's a preacher by the name of Jamal Bryant. He was in Baltimore, but he recently took over Eddie Long's church. And that jackass, Dr. Jamal Bryant, when the Black Panther movie came out, started a series called Wakanda Forever and had his church members dress up as Wakandians. I kid you not. This jackass, because that's what you have to call him, this idiot, Dr. Jamal Bryant, superimposed his head on the Black Panther movie poster, and he was sitting on the throne. Jamal Bryant, with his huge bucket head, was sitting on superimposed on the poster, and he preached a whole series called Wakanda Forever. And he would begin by speaking of Wakanda and talking about Black Panther and black national pride and how we can't let the white man put us down and blah, 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 blah. And he claims it was the greatest sermon series he ever preached. Well, it was devoid of Jesus, of course. How could it be the greatest sermon series if it didn't include Jesus? And if you're elevating ethnocentrism, And I had to send that fool a memo and remind him that Wakanda doesn't exist. The Black Panther never existed. It is the creation of Stan Lee and the writers and the artists over there at Marvel Comics. But Jamal Bryant had his church members in Baltimore are dressed up like Wakandians. When you walked into the church vestibule during the sermon series, they had signs everywhere that this was Wakanda. No, you jackass, it's Baltimore. It's Baltimore. You see, and this is how something as harmless as a comic book character can enter into the warped mind of a jackass preacher, and you could, and I kid you not, they were all saying at the end of the service, instead of saying amen, they were all saying he would remind them, Wakanda forever. And the fools that were following Jamal Bryant were saying Wakanda forever. Wakanda doesn't exist. So, you have harmless things that become dangerous in the hands of fools. And this Metatron thing is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because it falls under the category of Jewish fables. Jewish fables. Now, are fables dangerous? Yes, they are. Because fables are the opposite of truth. Fables are the opposite of truth. Truth is reality. Fables are not reality. When I read Aesop's fable, the jackass with the lion skin, you know, there was a jackass that found a lion had died. And when the lion decomposed, he left his lion skin on the ground. And so a jackass found it, and he put on the lion skin, and he thought that he was going to be king of the jungle. And when people asked him to roar like a lion, he started to bray like a jackass, and all the people that the jackass thought were going to be his royal subjects, they all laughed at him and walked away. It's called the jackass in the lion suit. And how many jackasses do we have out there, so-called jackass apostles and jackass prophets, putting on a prophet's mantle and putting on the apostle's mantle, and they're fools? So you can learn a lot from fables, but fables aren't real. There was never a jackass. When I read Aesop's fable, I understand that there was never a jackass who found the lion skin and who tried to pull the wool over the other animals by claiming to be king of the jungle. That never happened. It is the creation of the storyteller Aesop, and it has a moral, it has a story, it has a lesson. You can deceive yourself into thinking you are king of the jungle, but in reality you're still a jackass. Just like these bishops who keep getting elevated and they spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in their elevation service. And after they put on all of that stuff on them, they put on the funny hat and the purple garments and all that, they're still a jackass. You're no bishop. You're nothing but a fool. You're just like the jackass who put on the lion suit. You're no king of the church. You're no king of the jungle. You're nothing. You're a dunce. You're a moron. You're an ignoramus for letting them swindle you out of $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. So, as we read here, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Listen, this Metatron thing, we shouldn't even be discussing it. Why? Because Paul tells us, don't give heed to fables. Let's read. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, he's writing to Timothy, his son in the gospel, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What is he referring to? Well, Paul had been there at Ephesus. He had been there for 3 years. And after being there for 3 years and establishing a mighty church, he had to move on to plant new churches. So he leaves Timothy behind, and he says, listen, in my absence, don't allow anyone to teach any other doctrine than that which I already brought to the people. Don't let them introduce false teaching. In verse 4, he says, in addition to that, neither give heed to fables. Don't give heed to fables. Don't give your pulpit over to someone who wants to teach on Metatron. Why? Because Metatron falls under Jewish fables. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Again, this goes back to Judaism. This is pointing to the fact that the Jews were into genealogies. And if you know the story of Metatron, one Metatron tradition says that Metatron was first Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Well, how do you know he's the seventh? Well, you got to follow the genealogy, starting with Adam. And you work your way down all the way to Enoch. After Enoch was taken to heaven, God changed him from man into an angel and made him his greatest angel. Well, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which do what? Minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So, listen, when somebody wants to talk fables, you say, not today, not tomorrow, not ever. The second scripture that I want you to consider is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, 7. He says to Timothy, but refuse profane, which means godless or pagan, but refuse pagan and old. And now this is another, you see, you have pagan or profane or stories that do not come out of sacred history. That's what profane means. But refuse profane and old wise fables. Refuse them. Refuse the cultural stories that come from Greek wives, old grandmothers. Refuse them. Why? Because they're not based on any truth. Refuse them. And if you've been in the church for a while, you know that a lot of people like to bring in their cultural, I've dealt with many island people in my ministry, in my years of ministry, many island people. And some people from Jamaica will try to introduce what they think about demons based on Jamaican cultural ideas. Others from the Dominican Republic will tell you what demons are based on their Dominican Republic experience or cultural setting. Others from the island of Puerto Rico or the island of Haiti will try to give you their slant on demons. All of that is garbage. I don't care what they think about demons in Cuba or in Haiti or in Puerto Rico or in the Dominican Republic or in Jamaica or anywhere else. I'm only concerned with what the Bible says demons are. Keep your old wise fables to yourself. They bear no authority on the church. That's what your grandmother told you. Your grandmother wasn't a Bible scholar. Your grandmother didn't study the Bible. Your grandmother had a mixture of hoodoo and voodoo and Roman Catholicism. Keep it to yourself. It carries no weight with us. Well, you know, they used to say in the old country, keep it to yourself. We don't want to hear it. Because that's how you introduce crazy notions. That's how you introduce crazy ideas. In 2 Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 1, and we want to work our way down to verse number 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. What are we to preach? The word. Are we to include the Zohar? No. Are we to include the Kabbalah? No. Are we to include the Talmud? No. Because the last time I saw, the Zohar, the Kabbalah, and the Talmud were not part of Scripture. They're not part of the Word of God. We are to preach the Word and nothing else. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice, people don't like sound doctrine. And as a result of not liking sound doctrine and saying that it is too boring for them, they shall gather unto themselves a plethora of teachers that will tickle their ears and scratch their curiosity and bring them into ideas and into knowledge that is unfounded. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. This is referring to people who have departed from the faith. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall turn, and they shall open and embrace and welcome fables. They will welcome falsehoods. But you, Timothy, watch in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So, before I go on with some other scriptures and some other quotes that I have for today, let me play the clip, the audio clip, where Metatron, the character Metatron, which doesn't exist, the Metatron of the Talmud, of the Zohar, of the Kabbalah, is not Jesus Christ. Metatron does not exist as he is portrayed in any of those books. Metatron does not have 365,000 eyes. That is just someone smoking weed and coming up with that idea. So let's listen to this short clip on how some in the church are now teaching that Metatron is Christ.
Is Rabbi Itzhak Shapira actually saying that Yeshua is Metatron? And the takeaway from this last little conversation and this teaching from Deanne, I'm calling you Diana, it's Deanne, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My sister's name is Diana.
Yeah, it's so crazy, David, because you never say words wrong.
No, I don't say words wrong. That's my only fault, you know, my only fault I have, I say words wrong. But the takeaway is when you see someone talking about Ein Sof and teaching about Ein Sof, they're down the Kabbalah rabbit hole. Don't let them kid you. This isn't anything from the Bible about Ein Sof. This is from Kabbalah, pure Kabbalah. And in Kabbalah, Ein Sof is the creator of Elohim. But just so you'll know, and in the Kosher Pig, there's a big section where he goes into great detail showing that Yeshua is Metatron, and here we're going to let you hear it from his own words.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to ask one to know, when we pray, God hears it. I'm going to tell you a secret. There is only one way to get this collect call. May it be, here's the prayer in English, may it be your will that at the sounding of the shofar that we blow today, we will be as a soft fabric that is filled with the fear of the one in charge, Taltiel, as you accepted Elijah, blessed be his name, and Yeshua. This is the only place in rabbinic language that the name Yud, Shin, Vav, Ein is mentioned. That Yeshua, who is called the Prince of the Faith, who is being Prince Metatron, may you fill us with his mercy. Blessed be your name, Lord of Mercies. Hello, are you understanding what I am telling you?
Yeah, I think I am understanding what you're saying there, Mr. Shapiro. Now, what we have just heard here, Deanne, does this have any prophetic implication?
So there you have it. Some clown teaching that Jesus is Metatron, but that's Jewish fables. Metatron comes from Jewish fables. We are to reject Jewish fables, the Apostle Paul said. Don't entertain them. Don't receive them. Don't lend an ear to them. But again, Paul says here prophetically in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come, and this is the time, dear saints, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine. Listen, they don't have an appetite for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine isn't tasty enough for them, isn't palatable enough for them. No, it's too bland. It's too bland. So they don't want it. So after their own lust, a craving to hear crazy talk, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and they shall turn to fables. And this is why this Metatron teaching is starting to make inroads, because we are in those times where people don't want to endure sound doctrine, and they are ready to turn their ears from the truth. Now, here's another scripture. It says here in Titus chapter 1, verse 14, Titus 1, 14, this is Paul speaking to another spiritual son, and I'll start reading at verse number 13, Titus 1, 13 and 14. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. What should you do to these false teachers? Rebuke them sharply. Do not give heed to Jewish fables. That's what he says to Titus. Do not give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that always turn people away from the truth. My brothers and sisters, the Metatron teaching is designed to lead people away from Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John Brown, the great scholar John Brown, in his Bible Dictionary, the first volume, the 1811 edition of John Brown's Dictionary of the Holy Bible, this is what he says about fables. Fable. A fable is an idle and groundless story. An idle and groundless. It's a stupid and baseless story. That's how he begins. The heathens, referring to the Gentiles, had fables unnumbered. In other words, they had tens of thousands of fables. The heathen. Fables unnumbered concerning the rise and exploits of their gods, like Jupiter and Mars and Apollo and Juno, all of the pagan nations had their gods and had their exploits. Hercules, remember Hercules? What a fable that was. Hercules and his and the 12 exploits, the 12 adventures of Hercules. That never happened. Hercules never existed. Okay, so again, fable is an idle and groundless story. The heathens had fables unnumbered concerning the rise and exploits of their gods. Now, it goes on to say, nor were the Jewish or nor were the Jews, excuse me, nor were the Jews in the apostolic age much behind the heathen in their ill-grounded stuff concerning their oral law and the traditions of the elders. So that means that the Jews were just as bad. If the Greeks, if the pagans came in first place when it came to the amount of fables they could produce, the Greeks came the Hebrews came in a very close second. In a very close second. Just like there are fables of Enoch, my brothers and sisters, there are fables of Elijah. Just like Enoch, we're told in the fables of the Jews, just like Enoch transitioned into an angel and became the angel Metatron, Elijah also, when he was translated into heaven, was also turned into an angel, and his name is Xandalfond. He is Metatron's little brother. Xandalfond, which was previously, if you believe the cockamamie story, Xandalfond was previously Elijah, and Metatron was previously Enoch. Now, James says, look at what James says, knowing that there's all these stories swirling around, because remember, the Jews had these oral traditions, and they rejected the biblical law or the written law for the oral law. And in their oral law, they created these superhero saints, if you will. Well, James brings us back to earth when in the fifth chapter of his epistle, he says, my brothers and sisters, if people are telling you that Elijah is Xandalfond, reject it. He says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth a fruit. In other words, Elijah was just like you and me. He was dependent upon God. He had to get on his knees and cry out to God if anything was going to happen. And God heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer. But it wasn't because he was some supernatural superhero from Wakanda. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Don't believe the stories that now Elijah is a superhero angel named Xandalfond. So, my brothers and sisters, had we read 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 Timothy chapter 1, excuse me, verses 3 and 4, had we read 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, had we read 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 4 and Titus 1:14, we would have never, ever, ever paid any attention to any of the Metatron talk. And I close with this scripture. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, he says, for we Christians have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, our gospel is not a fable. Our gospel is not a fairy tale. Our gospel is not some myth. Our gospel is a true story. It truly happened. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, crafty fables, well-written fables, deceiving fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. No human being has ever been an eyewitness of Apollo. No human being has ever been an eyewitness of Jupiter. No human being has ever been an eyewitness of Hercules. If they say they were, it's a lie. Those are mythological creations. Jesus was real. Jesus altered history. Jesus altered mankind. And he's about to return again. So my brothers and sisters, if we follow the biblical ban, because the Bible bans us from giving any attention, 1 second, 1 minute, 1 moment, to Jewish fables or fables of any kind, my brothers and sisters, if we heed the ban, we will not succumb like those who are now turning away from the truth and heaping unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And I want you to listen to the rest of this audio before I close the broadcast. Here's more from the audio on Metatron.
That would tie in with the revelation of the beast in Revelation 13.
Well, David, it seems that way to me. When I was writing the book, I was just overwhelmed at the parallels that I see, like with the Shekinah being in the pit, or Metatron, who really I show in my book is revealed to be the prince of this world. And there are so many parallels. I'm no Bible scholar, and I can't say that for sure. But in all of my years of research, I've never seen anything that comes closer than the system of Kabbalah and Babylonian Talmudism. And I think that could very well be it.
And it's interesting because even the Archangel Michael, I believe, is Jesus himself. Michael, who is like God?
See, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 1, Jesus is not a per se angel. He is the Christophany, the angel of the Lord, Hamalach Adonai, known in Judaism as the Metatron in the Old Testament. This is true in the sense of he is the messenger of Hashem, of God. One. Jesus is not a per se angel. He is the Christophany, the angel of the Lord, Hamalach Adonai, known in Judaism as the Metatron in the Old Testament. This is true in the sense of he is the messenger of Hashem, of God.
So Jacob Prash is calling out Amir Sarfati for saying that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, which is not true. And now Jacob wants to correct that and actually reinsert the identity of Jesus the Christ as Metatron. Are you kidding me? And he also goes on to say it in another video, going over the same issue, kind of repeats everything. But you can see exactly what camp he belongs to. He is a Jew. He is aligning Jesus Christ with Metatron, which is the same thing that Rabbi Shapira is doing. And you're kind of starting to see video after video, if you check all my videos, you're starting to see that there really is a confederacy of individuals who are questioning the identity of Jesus and calling him Metatron. There's a reason they're doing that.
The reason being is Paul said that this would happen in the last days, that many would depart from the faith, that many would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, that many would turn away from the truth and heap unto themselves teachers who would bring to them fables. Stay away from all these teachers, especially Jacob Prash. Stay away from Jacob Prash. He's no good. He's no good. Stay away from this clown, this bozo. this Bluto. Stay away from him. That does it for us today, saints. And love you much in Jesus. Continue to tune in each and every day as we come to you with another exciting broadcast in hopes that you will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and maintain busy until the Lord returns. Well, saints, that does it for today. God bless and stay blessed.
Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah, and I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. And catch it mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people. Teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Preston Dollar is a false teacher.
12-12.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
12-12.
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let him know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
12-12.
Paul Crouch is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.